Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today I'm super crazy excited to have my friend Cameron come on the show to talk about translating applications, which I think is a super important topic. So I'm super excited to have you here, Cameron.
I'm happy to be here, too.
Awesome.
My name is Cameron Larum. I work in the Windows division. I'm the author of the Multilingual App Toolkit, and we're going to do some demonstrations of it today.
Multilingual App Toolkit. What the heck is that?
Not multi-language app toolkit. Multilingual.
What's the difference between a language and a lingual?
A lingual is more of the usage of the words, where language is more of a definition.
Got it. Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
So first off, let's just talk about app translations.
Yes.
Why is it important that I even think about translating my app?
Well, if you consider English as your only market, you've severely limited your ability to publish your app into people that could use it. And whether you're going for fame, money, publicity, whatever, you've cut out a huge percentage of the world's population.
Got it. So, yeah, because we often talk about, oh, I have this database and I want to scale it to millions of people. And what happens if it gets popular in China?
Exactly.
But I don't know any, you know, Chinese. So I think for me, when I was creating applications, I would usually follow the standard, this is how you translate an app. And I would translate it into English, and that was it.
Yep.
So there's lots of markets out there, essentially, to translate apps in. Now, do all the different app stores support all the different languages, or what are kind of your findings that are out there? And how many languages are there that are important? All of them, I assume.
Any language that anybody speaks is important. There are a majority of languages. You'll have about 10 or 15 languages that is going to be the dominant languages for your apps. You know, it's going to be your standard, your English, your Spanish, your French, your Chinese. You know, just you can figure out the list. It's pretty straightforward. The challenge with most localization, though, is people view it as a tax.
Got it.
Because I don't know Spanish. How am I supposed to know if it's any good or not?
Yeah.
Right? And, well, that's where you can really start engaging with your community. Mm. But the number one thing is make your apps so they are localizable, so that if you want to add another language, you don't have to go back and re-engineer.
Got it.
That's really important up front.
Yeah, I fall into that right away, which is I start typing up an application. I see that text property.
Yes.
You know, I'm like, oh, I'll just fill in the text with this string. And this is what I want it to be. And then 6 months later, I have 10,000 strings everywhere throughout my application, right?
Yes.
So I think that's the biggest struggle is that tax. And not only just for me to set it up, which I think you may show that it's not that hard.
Could be.
But also, I guess the other challenge for me has been getting the translations, but also finding people. Because my girlfriend speaks fluent Spanish. She's a Spanish major.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to send her like a Resex file or something like that. I'm not, you know,
right.
I wouldn't even like, here, can you, you know, where's the context?
Yeah, let's send her a Resex file. That way it's a whole new language to learn.
Exactly. Yeah. So are there other things that you're going to show that will help with that?
Show how you can engage the community. I'll show how you can go to different vendors. Okay. A lot of different companies support the file format we're going to be using, which is XLIF, an industry standard format for translation.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of avenues for that.
Okay.
And we're also going to show how you can just kind of do it yourself to make sure your system works.
That's awesome, yeah. So you want to run through it?
Yeah, let's run through it.
Okay.
So here's this great app that I stole from you.
Perfect.
And it basically what it does is hooked in, and we're using the XAML. This is going to be XAML Forms. Mm-hmm. And so we support Android, iOS, and Windows.
So you support, so the thing that we're going to show today is a Xamarin Forms application.
Yes.
But you're saying it applies to any Xamarin or Windows application, regardless of how it was built.
Yeah, if you did a Xamarin iOS app, mm-hmm. we still support that model.
Got it.
They use the different file formats for their resources. This here with the forms, we're using the ResX.
Got it. So it'd be a cross-platform translation.
Exactly.
Got it.
But the workflow is the same regardless.
Perfect. Okay.
So whether you're going from a desktop app, a web app, a Xamarin app, the workflow is exactly the same.
Okay. Got it. Cool. So this looks like a label and some other stuff on there. Cool.
Yeah, so this here is the code that everybody in the world writes.
Yes.
Translate this automatically.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of hard to translate a hard-coded string automatically.
Correct, yeah.
So what we have to do, first thing, is we have to associate the labels with a runtime value.
Okay.
And that's what this does up here. With our definition of our translate, we give it the ID of hello world.
So it's like a key, essentially, it's a key value.
Yeah, it's a key value. It's binding.
Yeah.
We know binding, right?
Where does that hello world live?
Hello world is what goes in our resource file. Now, this is a standard ResX file that lives in basically all the Windows programs you've ever seen.
Yep.
The modern apps use a ResW. same difference, basically.
Okay.
Okay. So you'll see that same key where it says "Hello World."
Okay.
Nice
Hello
and big
from
on the screen.
App resources. Perfect.
Yep. And so if we were to change the string here and run the program, that string would change.
Got it.
So let's actually go ahead and bring up the program. We have it running, and we can see "Hello from App Resources."
Yeah. Got it.
Now what we've done is we've gone ahead and pre-established in the software the ability to switch languages automatically.
Okay.
Normally, you would just change your device. Like if I'm running a Spanish iPhone, it would just be in Spanish.
Yeah.
The app would pick it up, and we would know by the loading of the app which language is in, because we just ask it for what culture you are, and it would load automatically.
Got it. So this is that. I noticed in the XAML there was like an extension markup of translate.
Yes.
And that's where this little provider value is coming from, a translate extension.
Yes.
And I've seen this before. This is a cross-platform plugin to essentially grab the current culture.
Yeah, it's a really cool plugin. It works really well. Why code it when you can NuGet it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, and then from this point here, then what we want to do is we go into this file, and whenever we change that dropdown, we can pick a language. And when we change this, we would get an event that would cause us to go back to here and say, okay, here are, I got event picker changed.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and load the culture that I selected.
Okay.
And that keeps you from rebooting the app, you know, go to the phone, switch it over to the new language, restarting it, and getting all going again. You can just do it right now on the fly.
And that's also cool because you may also want to have the ability for your users to change the language themselves, because maybe their phone is in Spanish, but maybe they want to give it to someone, see it in English. And I see here that there's appresources.helloworld. So I can not only, if I have all XAML or I have all C# code behind, I could just say appresources.whatever the key is.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I don't even have to use that markup extension if I don't want to.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Localization isn't limited to text. Mm. You could put this on a button control size.
Ah.
Like if you wanted to resize a button for a different market because they wanted bigger buttons or smaller buttons.
Oh, cool.
So whatever you put in the file, all you're really doing is saying, at binding time, load this information.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's really cool. Yep. So for instance, it could be a button size, but I'm assuming, could you use that then also for like images and stuff?
Absolutely. In fact, it's recommended because you know, you're not going to show an image of here we are in Seattle of Mount Rainier for a geographical app that you put in China or in South America.
Gotcha.
They're not going to care about Mount Rainier unless they're searching for it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone should care.
Mount Rainier is great.
Mount Rainier is very beautiful, and everyone should follow the Mount Rainier is the mountain out now.
It is.
And yeah, it's a pretty great Twitter account. I'll put that in the show notes if you just want to follow Mount Rainier. It's beautiful.
That's right.
All right, cool. So how would I translate this application? Or like what's the steps here? Because it seems like I have a good setup.
Well, what people do is they'll go back to the ResX file. Mm-hmm. They'll make a new copy of it.
Yeah.
And for the ResX files, the way it works is you just give the culture name in the middle. So it'd be appresources.frenchfr.resx.
Okay.
And you do that, and then you go through and you change all the text in them. And then when you change it in one file, you got to go change the other files, and then you decide that it's not worth it.
So I would think that I'm going to do this 14 times.
Yep.
Now I have one string, so I'll go to Bing Translate, and I'll translate
copy
everything.
Copy and paste in.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
Sounds wonderful.
No.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
No. And I mean, like, no application that I've ever built has one string in it.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So if you want to do it a simpler way, what you can do is you can go to your tools bar, and you can bring up the extensions, and we have a product called the Multilingual App Toolkit.
Okay, got it. So this is an extension.
Yes.
To Visual Studio.
Yeah. So it's this one right here. Okay. It's an extension of Visual Studio. There's a different version for 2017, and there's a different version for 2015.
Got it.
Main reason why, even though it's pretty much the same code, 2017 does the V6 installation, whereas in 2015 we're using an MSI.
Got it. Cool.
So that's a core difference, but if you come here, you install it, and then it will put the toolkit within your product. It gives you the experience in the solution as well as the build tools.
Okay, cool, nice.
Okay.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Once you've got that done, you select the project that you have localization data in.
Okay.
And you come up here to your tools menu, and you say, I just want to enable that. Well, we've already enabled it because we got to turn it off.
So this
would be enabled if the project was not ready for the toolkit's version of localization.
Got it. So normally that would be enabled for everyone.
Yep.
Turn it off ahead of time, that's fine. But could I, and then if I was only doing this in Android or iOS, I would do that on that specific project,
yes.
Correct? Okay.
So you could actually do this at the solution level. And it will, now you say I have both enable and disable because one's already enabled and the rest are not.
Got
so
it.
Now I could go enable the rest.
Got it.
Most everything works at the solution level. So okay. if you have multiple projects with localization data, you can say the steps we're going to show later on, add languages, generate translations. You can do all those at any scoping you want or even multi-select.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Sometimes Visual Studio, you have to select away and select back for it to realize it's at the solution level. But other than that, it does work.
Got it. And this is in a .NET standard project.
Yes.
So does it work with other types of projects then?
Yes. We originally supported, back in Windows 8 timeframe, we supported the modern applications in Windows 8.
Okay.
We extended off to Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. Then we got hacked. This was awesome. We got hacked, and someone took the Windows Phone version and made it work for the web apps.
Oh, nice.
And so. I found that blog, and I went, why don't we just enable this?
Yeah, just do it for everybody.
So
yeah.
now we support WinForms, WPF. We support web apps.
Oh, cool.
So if you want to translate your ASP.NET app,
yeah.
we work with that.
Oh, nice.
If you want to do, Xamarin, you want to do your modern apps for the Windows 10 apps, we work with all, there's a long list of apps and the portables and everything.
Very
so
cool.
we really tried to expand it. Basically, we broke it down to ResJSON, ResW, ResX, and then the Android and iOS
so
formats.
So this is really the multilingual app toolkit for all apps.
For all apps.
Yeah, cool. All right, now what's next?
Okay, so now that we've have it enabled, the magic happens, it's enabled, and we're only going to limit it to this particular project because it's the only one that has localizable text in it.
Got it.
That's the other great thing about forms is we do all the work here and all the other apps take advantage of it.
Got it.
Okay, so simply right click, you see the toolkits there. Mm-hmm. If these are all grayed out, you forgot to enable.
Got
Just
it.
Go back to the tools and enable it.
Got it.
And then let's add a language.
Okay.
So what languages do you want today?
So, let's definitely add Spanish.
Okay.
Since I know my girlfriend speaks Spanish, and I also saw Chinese in that list. I think that's really complicated. And there's multiple forms of Chinese.
We're going to do Chinese simplified and Chinese traditional.
All right, cool.
And then
maybe German?
German, sure, why not?
Like long strings, those are always good.
Yeah.
And now what's going on here? I see there's some some icons, some no icons.
So this is the problem. I'm so familiar, I forget about this stuff.
Yeah.
So what these icons represent, the toolkit is basically an interface in Visual Studio that lets you do automatic language injection.
Mm.
To do that, you need a translation provider.
Got it.
So what these icons represent are the different translations of providers that are available for that language.
So these are all of the translations ever that anyone could, probably ones that the phones don't even support.
Correct.
And then also those are specific services that
specific
are configured.
Specific services, yes. And you could write your own service.
Oh, cool.
So this the plugin model for the translation providers is, we published it and it's available to go on that one.
So if you have your own language that you created, you could just use it.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, cool.
So if you hover over it, though, real quick, we'll dive into it. You'll see that this is the Microsoft Language Portal Provider.
What's that?
This is all of Microsoft's professionally translated strings recycled for use here.
Oh, cool.
Free of charge.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
That's really cool. Free of charge.
Free of charge. I like that.
I like that.
This is the Microsoft Translator Service, which has a, I think it's 2 million character free of charge service, but you do have to configure it. This is a recent change. Services were moved around, and now we're in Azure, so you do have to configure your Azure connection for this.
Okay. So that's an Azure Cognitive Service part of it. I've used that before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you configure that up in the portal.
Yep. Right. And so you'll have to, we want your information secure, so you do it through Windows credentials, and you put your information in there, and then you're good to go.
Basically, I know in the portal they give you like an API key, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yep.
Cool.
So that's what this does. If there's no icon next to it, you're on your own. That's where friends and family comes in 100%.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Cool. And again, Sudo's not as popular as it used to be. A lot of platforms don't support it. Windows does. But this is a Sudo provider as well. So you can see that it will know based on the language what providers. When you write the provider, you just say, here's what I support.
Got it.
So super simple. When we hit OK, what it's going to do is it's going to add in the control files. So it creates a multilingual resources directory.
Oh, cool.
And in that directory, it puts these exlif files in.
What is an XLIF file?
I'm still trying to figure that out. XLIF is an industry standard for localization support.
Oh, okay.
So it's really designed to handle translation data pairs.
Got it. Okay.
It's very flexible. We're using XLIF 1.2 standard.
Okay.
The 2.0 standard's out and has been adopted more widely than it was a year ago. So I'm looking at maybe moving us to 2.0 because we have an open source XLIF 2.0 object model that's public that people can use.
Oh, cool.
So if I move the toolkit to 2.0, now they can really party on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
So if we look at this file here, one of the things that we can do is right here, we can just simply say, you know what, I just want my Spanish.
Got it.
Or I'm not in Spanish, I'm in German. So I'm going to go ahead and say, just give me German.
Okay.
Right now what it's doing is it's checking all the services that are supported by it simultaneously, mm-hmm. doing a comparison and saying which one is the best one based upon the provider's assessment of their translation.
All right.
And so now what we got is we had those translated, and our output window will tell us that we had one resource that was translated.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Now, is there anything special for these files? Like when you tapped on it, I just saw that. Are they compiled into my application? Is there any certain properties that you have to
That's a great question. Yeah. Yes. For .NET, there is something you have to do at the moment. I will fix this in the future.
Okay.
I hope. But what you have to do is I'm selecting them all, and you see where it says the build action?
Yeah.
You have to change this to be the localization. I'm sorry. Get down there. To be the localization file format.
Oh, okay. Got it. Perfect.
And the reason why you do that is the build triggers off of the include code for that.
Got it.
And
okay.
without that set, it will ignore the files and you
Perfect.
Won't get any updates.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So boom. So now we've associated those files, but we've already translated the German one, correct?
Yes, but we haven't translated the other ones.
Ah.
So, and we can tell that by coming down here and giving me a status.
Whoa.
Now you can see all your languages, what the different levels are.
Very nice.
All of them are new. Overall, we have one that's been translated, and it says needs review.
Okay.
This is the thing, when we machine translate for you, we don't assume that it's great, we don't assume it's bad, we leave that up to you.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so we have a workflow that I'll show you later that people can change it to, this is ready to go.
Okay, cool. That's really nice though.
It's a cool feature.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go ahead and just translate the rest of them.
Okay. And so you can do them all in one?
I can do it all in one. Again, since I'm selecting the multilingual resources node, it will do all of them below it.
Oh, cool.
If I did this as a solution, it would do it across multiple solutions for anybody who had the files.
Got it.
And you see the first one just ran really fast because it's already done. It won't try to retranslate if it's been translated.
Okay.
It saves a little time. And now we have the four files that are translated.
Nice.
So let's go ahead and open up the Spanish one. Sorry, I clicked the wrong one. We'll do Chinese.
Sure, perfect. So you double tap it, and what is this?
A double tap. This is called the multilingual editor.
Okay.
This here, back to when I said, remember Visual Studio 2007 uses the V6 install model?
Mm-hmm.
The MSI is required to install the editor.
That makes sense.
So install, if you don't have Visual Studio 2015, just install the 2015 version. You'll only get the editor.
Got it.
If you have 15, you'll get all the tools and the editor.
Okay.
And then they all work together.
Okay, got it.
So that's a little gotcha that we're going to fix.
Cool. So I see there's a translation, there's comments, and it says needs review.
Needs review. That's because we've just applied machine translation to it, and we haven't done anything with it.
Okay.
Now in here, we can change the state of it. To this is final. I think this is great. We're going to ship it.
Yep.
We can actually say, you know what, go give me some more suggestions. And it'll go off and it'll give us a list of suggestions. Currently, that's the only one that it likes.
Cool.
So that's the one that we're going to be using. So I'm going to go ahead and, you know what, this one here has been translated.
Okay.
Now, for it to enter the product, it just has to be not equal to a status of new.
Oh, okay, got it.
And the reason why is it'd be really frustrating if you had to mark your translation as complete before you could see it.
Yeah, for me, I want to see it in my app. You know, maybe I don't want to go and open it for every single string, right? I just want to go in there. So as long as, right now, we didn't modify any other files, so they're just all marked as there,
They're all just marked there. So let's go ahead and do a rebuild on this.
Okay.
And what this does is during the build task, it reads the XLIF file, and populates that data into the ResX files.
Oh, okay. Because I see that there's ResX files. There's a bunch of new ResX files that were added for us.
Yes.
Ah.
So that's the advantage of the toolkit, is the toolkit doesn't do anything you can't do manually. But since it does it automatically, why would you do it manually?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? And so you'll see right here that we've started the toolkit and that build it completed successfully. And that's always good for a demo.
Yeah, like that.
Yes, like that. And what it's done is if I pull up these files here, my German ResX file now has my German in it.
Oh, very cool. So automatically.
Automatically. Now what we do is we get out of the way.
Yeah.
And we let the compiler and the resource loaders, let them do their job just as if we weren't even installed.
Okay.
This is why when you build on the command line or even take it to Visual Studio on a Mac, you will still get your resources that you have preloaded in.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So this means I could modify my Exla file as much as I want.
Yes.
And then if I build it, then it's then going to merge that in to my files.
Exactly. Yeah.
What happens if I add a new translation, though? Let's say there was that hard-coded string. How does that work, essentially?
Well, like if we want to take that hard-coded string and put it into your resource file, we would simply go back to, we have the concept of a source language.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be English.
Yep.
The source language of a ResX file is the one without the language code in the name.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So we would simply just go back to this, and we would come in here and add a new file. Maybe. Or we're building still. Sorry.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Yeah. Got to let it finish building. And what do we call that? Title, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the title.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. And now what happens is when we do a build on this, and most of the processing happens at build time.
Okay. Got it.
So you do need to build it again.
That makes sense.
And what that does,
doing some stuff.
It goes out, looks at the source resource file, merges into the existing Exla files, and then repopulates the resource files that it manages.
Oh, cool.
So that's why we're getting the prompt. Yes, I would like to actually load that up, because if I come to this one here, it changed the file, but it's not in the resource file because it's still marked as new.
Oh, got it.
The reason we do that is now you know when an English string shows up that it is not in your resource file rather than in your resource file is English.
Got it. Okay.
It's some people like it, most people like it, some people aren't happy about it.
Got it.
But that's how it works.
And how ResX files work is that there's a fallback, so you can always have it fall back
yes.
to the default.
Yes.
That makes sense.
And like if you're going from French Canada, French Canadian, or French France, do French France, which is your majority of the same text, and then just do the small words or the few words in French Canadian.
Oh, I see. Got it.
And you're good to go.
Oh, but yeah, there it is. This is a title.
Now, here it is, and it's marked as new.
Oh, cool.
So nice. Now you could translate this right here.
You can do it here.
I can do it here, too. Because all we're doing, again, this is the key of it, all we're doing is we're managing the Exla file and then letting the migration happen to the ResXs.
Oh, I see. So I could give this Exla file to my girlfriend, let her do at least check or add all the Spanish translations,
yes.
essentially.
Yep, so the way you would do that is, since you want to do Spanish, you would just, again, right-click it, bring up the toolkit, and you say Export Translations.
Oh, cool.
Now, what's cool about this is you can export to Comma Delimited, XLIF 2.0, or the native support for 1.2 that
so
we have here.
Export, import, do whatever you need to do.
I can send it through email.
Oh, cool.
And I can limit what they get. So like if I was just doing fine-tuning, because I already had my product and I didn't want them messing with my strings, only send them new.
Got it.
Or possibly needs review.
Yep. That makes sense.
And then you can mark ones as non-translatable.
Oh, cool.
That way it never gets processed, and we just exclude it by default.
Oh, nice.
Because what's the point of looking at it?
That makes sense.
So we're going to go ahead and hit OK here. Hopefully my mail client's going to work today, because I didn't test this.
I know, I put you on the spot.
That's right. Put me on the spot. Oh, mail client's not running. It's starting. I can see it.
Nice.
Okay. And what we do is we bring up an email, and now you can type it to your girlfriend's name. What was her address? No. And then on here, this is a compressed file with your XLIF in it.
Oh, nice.
You'll see in this email, it has a link to where to install the toolkit.
Very cool.
Let's say you're on Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody does Windows 10.
Yeah, Windows 10.
It does actually work on Windows 7, but we don't want that. So you're running Windows 10. You send this to your girlfriend. She's running Windows 10. Doesn't have anything to do with Visual Studio on it.
Yeah.
She installs it. It installs only the editor
with
all the translation services.
Oh, very cool.
She'll need to configure cognitive services with that recent change. But now she opens that Exla file, she translates it, and she sends it back to you.
And that's nice, because most likely I've already ran the generated translations.
Yes.
And what I'm really asking her to do is, hey, can you verify these
Correct. Or
do it from scratch? Because you speak Spanish, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, cool.
Exactly.
All right. That's very nice. All right, so what does it look like in the app? We translated it.
Okay.
Can we see this puppy in action?
Sure. Real quick, on the way back, when she sends it back to you,
you
would just select the import option.
Oh, nice.
Now, the import option is, I want to point this out real quick, is we have the ability to import and recycle or just import.
Oh, what's the difference?
Recycle is the same word on different resources. There's no guarantee the context can be the same, but if you know the context of your app, the same words translated five times are probably the same context.
Oh, I see. Got it.
But we give the option to do both. That way you can really control it.
Got it. Cool.
Okay.
I like that.
And you can also use recycling if you import an Exla file from another project. You can say pull from that project and match the strings and bring them in.
Oh, very cool.
Without that, it has to be the same ID.
Nice.
All right, so we built, didn't we? Oh, we didn't build with that new one. Let's go ahead and rebuild this. And then we'll redeploy it. And I didn't save the translation on German, so that's not going to show.
Yeah, and the normal way of doing this then is I would probably get my emulator, change the language, reboot it, restart the app. But that's why you put that little thing in there so we can change it on the fly.
Yes, because that gets to be really old.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and deploy. We've built, so now we're going to go ahead and deploy this.
Okay. So this will take all of our new translations, boot it up in our app. So let it relaunch.
Let me get rid of this.
There you go. Like that. All right, final sign for signing. Everyone's favorite part of every demo is
waiting for the build.
Waiting for the build to happen, yes.
But it's always worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Very cool. All right, there we go.
But you were talking about how you get translations around. I know a lot of people who actually just tweet, hey, I can do French and German if you can do Spanish.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Yep. Okay, looks like we built. Looks like we deployed. Magic moment of truth.
All right. Now the first one should be in English.
Because that's how I've set the emulator up. So let's go ahead, and one of the ones we picked was Chinese, right?
Yep.
Ta-da.
Whoa, cool. So that updated that label.
Yes.
Right there.
Yep. And because the code behind says when you change this, please apply the translated label or the translation text back to my label, it shows up immediately.
Very cool.
Yep. And of course, it's not going to work for Korean because we didn't do Korean, so we're going to fall back to English.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Right?
Yep.
But it will work for our French. So we didn't do French?
We did. German.
German? Yep. So there's our German. Yeah. We can go through all of them, but you kind of get the idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is how easy it is to add translations to your application. Now, they're what I call auto-translation, which means they could be high, medium, or low quality.
Yeah.
Again, just like software, you own the quality of it. So go ahead and have your friends and families or even send it off to a vendor.
That makes sense.
You know, they don't charge that much for translations and they support your file format.
Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, for here, we're assuming that this is okay and maybe it's good enough, but really for that production, you know, this is going to get you that 95%, right? You just want that little tweak just to make sure.
Or you could do what I do. When I write my apps, I allow it to do dynamic switching on the fly. Mm-hmm. In case they don't like the translation, they go back to English or another language they'd like better. And I usually put a link in saying, hey, if you want to improve this, click here. And it'll send me an email and I can send them the Excel file.
Ah, cool.
And they could translate it.
Got it.
So again, engaging the community in whatever fashion you want.
Now, of course, we're showing this on Android, but it also work on iOS,
works
Windows.
On iOS, works on Windows.
Yeah. Or you could literally take these files and put them into any application because they're standards.
Yes. Right? Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. I get a lot of people who file bugs against my editor because they're using the XLIF from the Apple environment.
Ah, I see.
And I'm like, yeah, we're a little different.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Very cool. So it looks super easy. It works. And I like that because I've always had that thing is like, oh, it's an extra task. It's an extra thing to do.
And very cool. I know people who are native English and French Canadian speakers who won't do it because it's too much work just for two languages.
Yeah.
Now let me show you one thing that's kind of cool.
Okay.
And this is, you know, you can go, well, I can kind of do it. Sorry, I can go. There's some tools that will just do this. But let me do this. Hello from resources today. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and save this.
Yep.
And now I'm going to go rebuild it because again, we do everything on build.
Yeah.
Right. We don't do it interactively. So, wrong button. Let's rebuild this, and I want to show you one of the advantages. See these messages?
Oh yes.
So right here it says a string with existing translations has been updated.
Okay.
You don't know if you did a grammar error or if you changed the context.
Yeah.
So we warn you, but we don't throw away your translations.
Ah.
And now if I come in to this file, I'll go ahead and open the Spanish again.
Okay.
And we'll see in the Spanish one that I get a message saying that, hey, please verify this accuracy. Right, so I can just double click this, and I can see that it's changed, but my resource here didn't change. I can retranslate it, I can reset it, or I can just say, you know what, that message doesn't matter, go ahead and get rid of it.
Oh, interesting.
And now I'll no longer get that warning message. Again, we put you in control of what you're doing with it, which is really cool if you want to make machine translation for everything, send it out for localization, bring it back, and you make a string change, you're not going to throw everything away.
That makes sense.
You're going to say, what do I need to do now?
Very cool. Yeah, that makes sense. It really puts you in control of the translation you're doing. Cool.
Yep.
Cameron, this is amazing. I'm now going to go translate every single one of my applications.
I'm going to watch. You can no longer not do anything except English
and
other languages.
No excuse to be translating your
application. No excuse.
Well, Cameron, thank you so much for coming. I will put all of the links in the show notes below.
Yep.
This is awesome. When you showed it to me, I was like, I got to get this on the show because it's amazing. Yeah, and thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, James.
Awesome, yeah.
Take care.
Thanks, everyone, for watching. This has been yet another episode of The Xamarin Show. Make sure you subscribe. Hit that button over there, down over there. Ding that bell so you get the latest updates in your inbox. Until next time, I'm James, and thanks for watching.